Good morning. You may be seated. Thank you for praying for us, Andy. I think I will just start here. I'd like to open with a verse in Matthew 13, 36 and 37. You can turn there if you want. I've got it wrote down here, so I'm just going to read it. But I say unto you that every idle word that men shall speak, they shall give account thereof in the day of judgment, for by words thou shalt be justified, and by thy words thou shalt be condemned. So this is something that the Lord's been working on in my life. I've been convicted by our tongue, by what we say. It can have a huge impact on other people. Maybe the attitude that comes out of our heart. The title for this devotional is Death and Life Are in the Power of the Tongue. So, and I would like to, you can turn here to James 3. I would just like to read this familiar passage chapter here. I'll just read it, and then we'll... I have a few comments to make, but it speaks for itself. There's a lot in here that we can apply to our everyday life. These things are to be applied to my own life first of all, and the Lord has been doing a work, so I just pray that he continues in my life and in my family's lives. So let's start in James 3, verse 1. My brethren, be not many masters, knowing that we shall receive the greater condemnation. For in many things we offend all. If any man offend not in word, the same is a perfect man, and able also to bridle the whole body. Behold, we put bits in the horses' mouths that they may obey us, and we turn about their whole body. Behold also the ships, which though they be so great and are driven of fierce winds, yet are they turned about with a very small helm or rudder, whithersoever the governor listeth. Even so the tongue is a little member and boasteth great things. Behold, how great a matter a little fire kindleth. And the tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. So is the tongue among our members, that it defileth the whole body and setteth on fire the course of nature, and it is set on fire of hell. For every kind of beasts and of birds and of serpents and of things in the sea is tamed and hath been tamed of mankind. But the tongue can no man tame. It is an unruly evil full of deadly poison. Therewith bless we God, even the Father, and therewith curse we men, which are made after the similitude of God. Out of the same mouth proceedeth blessing and cursing. My brethren, these things ought not so to be. Doth a fountain send forth at the same place sweet water and bitter? Verse 12, Can the fig tree, my brethren, bear olive berries, either a vine figs? So can no fountain both yield salt water and fresh. Who is a wise man and endued with knowledge among you? Let him show out of a good conversation his works with meekness of wisdom. But if ye have bitter envying and strife in your hearts, glory not and lie not against the truth. This wisdom descendeth not from above, but is earthly, sensual, devilish. For where envying and strife is, there is confusion and every evil work. But the wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, and easy to be entreated, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality, without hypocrisy. And the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace of them that make peace. And that's the end of the chapter of verse or James 3 there. So I'd like to go just briefly hit a few of the verses. Verse 2, I don't really have a lot on that, but it's talking about a little thing that controls large things that just have a lot of impact. And then down in verse 5, where it talks about a little fire, we all know how we can take a little flame or even a spark and ignite something, and it can just go out of control. I had to think of the great wildfires that were sweeping uncontrolled across millions of acres of, you know, timber and houses, and that was just started by a little spark. And I believe this is what James is likening a careless word or a bit of gossip to, as in he said, she said, or so on. Just maybe we don't know if it's quite the truth, but it sounds like something that's very interesting to talk about, and then it goes from there. Verse 9, I believe that is talking about a two-faced person here that could say, "Bless you, brother or sister," and when that person's back is turned, then I would talk to someone else about that person, just telling him what I think of that person behind their back. It's a two-faced, maybe hypocrisy there. Verse 10, I found a verse in Luke 6 that I want to read as well there. That would go with verse 10. Luke 6:45, "A good man out of the good treasure of his heart bringeth forth that which is good, and an evil man out of the evil treasure of his heart bringeth forth that which is evil. For the abundance of the heart, for out of the abundance of the heart his mouth speaketh." And it says in verse 11, it's talking about sweet water and bitter. And then verse 12 says that no fountain can have both salt water and fresh water. It's just it's one or the other. I have several more verses here that I'll just read here. Proverbs 18:21. Is where I got my title. "Death and life are in the power of the tongue, and they that love it shall eat the fruit thereof." Proverbs 12:18, "There is that speaketh like the piercings of a sword, but the tongue of the wise is health." The lip, and verse 19, says, "The lip of truth shall be established forever, but a lying tongue is but for a moment." I have the amplified version of that as well. "There is one who speaks rashly like the thrusts of a sword." Words can cut and damage if they are used against someone. So it's likening it to the thrusts of a sword. "But the tongue of the wise brings healing." So it can damage or it can heal. "How do I communicate to others when there is a concern or question about something I see maybe in someone's life? Is it easier? Is it easier to go to my friends and discuss this thoroughly and indignantly, adding details and even stretching and adding to it? Or can I go in love to that person the way that God wants us to, the way that His Word says? And ask, is this true? Is this what I'm seeing? Is this correct? If I am suspicious of things, then I will imagine things, and the concerns that I do have will grow into a Mount Everest, because I'm too proud or fearful to clear it up when things come up. Excuse me. So, I ask others to come talk to me when they see something in my life. Do you see something in my life, brother? Come talk to me. And do I really mean that? If I truly mean that, am I willing to also go to another person that has requested that as well? When I see something, do I do that in love? Do I get back into the groove of just discussing it a little bit with someone? And then they may add something to it, and before we know it, things get heated up, and we think, well, someone should go tell this person how things really are. But a lot of times, things get blown out of proportion when that happens. And I believe this scripture is what God is talking about, what James is talking about here, and God is talking to us. Let's look at a few things that could help us with this. Having a vision and a purpose of why not to do that. And the vision isn't just something we come up with or make up with, or that's convenient, or just a good thing. It's what God wants. It's God's heart. We read many things in God's word that help shape and form the way we do things. Philippians 4:8, finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. There's a checklist that we can use that it's been said before, but it's a helpful thing to think about. I'll just read it here. I have it numbered 1, 2, and 3. Number one is it true? Before we go spread something or talk to someone about another person or a matter or something, is it true? Are we absolutely certain that what we're about to say is a fact? Or is it a rumor or something we heard secondhand? Number two, is it kind? Is it kind? If it is true, what is the motivation for sharing it? Even if it is true, spreading it to entertain others fails the kindness test. Number three, is it necessary or helpful? Even if it's true and said kindly, does the person you are talking to actually need this information to help them? I don't believe that this is referring to a person who confides to someone to ask for help, but sometimes this can be an excuse to talk, to let off steam, let off feelings about another person. All of us say things that we regret, and I believe we all have the heart to do what God is asking of us here, the things that we read in the scripture. If we have the love of God and compassion for others that Jesus teaches, it will be easier to control our tongue. God says, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. So that's thought-provoking to me. What is coming out of me? We have a lot of opportunities to give life with our tongue, a kind word of encouragement to someone, words of blessing and peace. And I'm very thankful that there's been a lot of brothers that have done that for me. Kind words, encouragement, blessings. Just even in everyday conversation. When there are misunderstandings, it is amazing how a little bit of communication can free us. And the goal to that is to build each other up, to help each other, to build brotherhood. Psalms 141, verse 3. Set a watch, O Lord, before my mouth. Keep the door of my lips. Keep the door of my lips. And then Psalms, I just have a couple more verses here and then to close. And then that's all I have to share. So Psalms 19:14, let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. And then I'm going to close with Numbers 6:24-26. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift his countenance upon thee and give thee peace.